Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the movie Unplanned. Not really a movie review, more a conversation about the whole issue of abortion and around that. Emily Leadham from the Respect Life Office joins us along with Katie Fritz from the Catholic Community Foundation for the conversation. Hope you'll stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, though, the readings for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading, Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground, and in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week. From the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, members of the Montrose Humboldt Knights of Columbus Council number 10296 recently presented a check to the diocese for the Mother Teresa Endowment Fund. The Knights generated $1,000 for the endowment from its annual Life Causes Breakfast. Dale Johnson and Dean Keeter of the Knights of Columbus presented the check. You can read and see more about the Knights of Columbus donation to the Mother Teresa Endowment Fund in the April edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Representative Ann Wagner, a Republican from Missouri, spoke to the crowd of journalists and activists gathered before her, saying, "I came to Congress to be a voice for the voiceless, and with the Born Alive Act, today we will finally start the process of bringing this vote to the floor." At a news conference this week outside the House of Representatives, Minority Whip Representative Steve Scalise, a Republican of Louisiana, Representative Wagner and a handful of their Republican colleagues announced that they would be filing a discharge petition for the embattled Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, a move that will bring the bill to the floor of the House for a vote if the petition receives signatures from a simple majority of House members. A discharge petition is a means of bringing a bill out of committee into the floor for consideration without a report from the committee by discharging the committee from further consideration of a bill or resolution. The legislation has stalled in the U.S. Senate, and the leadership in the Democrat-controlled House has prevented the bill from being brought to a vote multiple times. The Senate version was written by Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican of Nebraska, and the House version was written by Representative Wagner. Representative Scalise related to the crowd gathered outside the House that his constituents are shocked that such a bill is even needed. In two recent actions, the U.S. Supreme Court revealed its death penalty decisions are hardly cut and dried. In late March, the court blocked an execution because an inmate's religious advisor wasn't permitted to be present, which directly contradicted an execution that the court did not block the previous month, also involving a spiritual advisor's presence at an execution. 3 days later, the court narrowly rejected a death row inmate's request for an alternative to execution by lethal injection, saying this method was not cruel and unusual punishment. On March 29th, the Supreme Court stayed the execution of Texas death row inmate Patrick Murphy while he was appealing the state's refusal to allow a Buddhist spiritual advisor to be present at his execution. Murphy, a former prison escapee put on death row for his involvement in the death of a police officer, converted to Buddhism while in prison. He was the driver of a getaway car during a robbery in 2000 with six other escapees known as the Texas Seven when two members of the group shot and killed the officer. 16 years ago, surrounded by burgeoning crime and gang violence, a Port of Spain, Trinidad parish decided to take this year's Lenten retreat outside of the church walls into a nearby panyard. Back then, Trinidad Archbishop Charles Jason Gordon was parish priest of Holy Rosary Church. He kept regular dialogue with the area's gang leaders, trying to broker peace and create opportunities for a life without crime for their members. Now Archbishop of Port of Spain, he sees the need for the church to continue to be an active presence in difficult times. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Great way to spend part of Lent doing that sort of work.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Gene, for that story and for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Leadham from the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life and by Katie Fritz from the Catholic Community Foundation. And you're going, well, now, what's that about? How come you have the two of them on? We want to talk this morning about the movie Unplanned. And I know Katie has seen it. I've seen it. Emily has not seen it, but she works in this whole area of Respect Life. And she has little kids, which is a great excuse for why she hasn't seen it yet. But I
yet.
Suspect you will.
Yes.
I suspect you will. This is not a program to do a movie review, necessarily. It's more of a program, I hope, as we talk today, to help people try to figure out what's next. You know, what do we do with this information? Because this movie does have a really powerful message.
Exactly.
Katie, wouldn't you say, having seen it?
It stops you in your tracks, and it hurts your head, and it makes you really think about what are we doing.
Yeah. The movie Unplanned, if you're not familiar with it, it's a story about Abby Johnson. It's a real story. It's a true story. Abby Johnson worked from a young age in a Planned Parenthood clinic, became a director of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and then had an awakening, I guess is maybe the best way to say it. And it's the story of her life, essentially, the story of how that came to be. You see things in this movie that you probably don't want to see.
They're very disturbing. But you need to see it.
Yeah.
You need to see an actual abortion happening, which is, I can't believe I just said that sentence. But you have to see it to fully comprehend what we're talking about, what this is all about.
Yeah. Emily, you and I have had this conversation before. It's abortion has become so politicized that it's really hard to make progress in talking to people about it. To me, this changes, in a sense, the conversation, because you begin to see, I hope, that this really is about life. It's not a political conversation. It's a life conversation. And mm-hmm. we've talked about that so many times.
Yeah. And that's what I love about their approach, even when they were making this film, was they very firmly from the beginning said, this is not about a political conversation. This is not about a political affiliation. This is about people. And I think in many of the interviews that I've watched, many of the conversations that I've had, I think they did that so well, and that they humanized people on every side of the fence,
That's a great point.
Yeah. I think they humanized the reality of Planned Parenthood workers, who really in many ways have this heart of compassion for the women that are walking into their clinics. Mm-hmm. And I think at times it was, in fact, the pro-life people who were illustrated as not so likable, as not so attractive. And I love that they did that, because I think the pro-life audience needed to see that. They needed to see, how is it that we can, in love, cascade a message of the beauty of life? And mm-hmm. I think, don't get me wrong, I think they did that as well. But that's the hope.
So when I hear that, Emily, I think about the word dignity. You know, it's about the fact that we all have that dignity. We're all created by the Creator, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think they did that really well across the board, including the child in the womb mm-hmm. has that dignity,
right?
And that does come through.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You realize every single life matters. And watching, I did not know much about this Abby Johnson person until the movie, to be honest, and what I found so fascinating was her true conviction that she really believed with all of her being that she was doing good work. Mm-hmm. And yet she didn't have the right information, and how important information is, and knowledge is power. And she didn't have the right information.
I think that was part of it. And then part of it was just, and again, this is a term we use a lot. It's a conversion mm-hmm. in a sense. It's a conversion of heart. It's a conversion of mind. And maybe the right information helps you get there. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the right disposition, though, I don't know if even the information is going to help you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
But that's kind of what I feel like is happening in our world right now. I mean, we do have the information. It's the science is there. That's not an excuse anymore, that we can say, well, science says it's not a baby yet, or mm-hmm. whatever science is saying, or science used to say. Now science says it's a person, mm-hmm. it's a baby. So you can't use that excuse anymore.
Yeah, the whole thing about, you know, does it feel pain? Doesn't it feel mm-hmm. pain? I think there's plenty of evidence now that suggests, you know, babies feel pain pretty early on in the womb.
Yeah, I think the reality of the grace of God cannot be ignored in something like that as well. You know, it struck me, I was watching something the other day and they said, you know, this doesn't happen the other way around. You don't have somebody that's been working for a pro-life clinic for, you know, however many years say, oh, you know what? I should have been doing abortions. Mm-hmm. I should have been on the other side of the fence. I haven't heard of a single person that has flip-flopped that direction. And yet how many, I think it's over like 400 some workers have left Planned Parenthood, 3 directors, Abby Johnson is not the only one, that have had this conversion the other way around. And I think if we look at even just the psychology of the human person, for that to happen is really, really
profound.
You know, mm-hmm. we have these constructs that we make up in our minds, and we have literally pathways in our brain of beliefs and our system of beliefs. And so in the case of Abby Johnson, for these really deep-seated beliefs, and not only the fact that she was working in a clinic, but had also had 2 abortions in her own life, for that construct to change in her brain, for the pathways in her brain to reroute, to say, wait a second, mm-hmm. that's the grace of God. That's something beyond any human understanding and capacity.
And
just when you really
feel
understand
that
the brain
in the movie, that she, in that moment, I mean, she is so filled with grief and angst and
remorse
mm-hmm. and And that the beauty, I think, of the movie then and the whole story is that it does show God's mercy. And Jerry, you and I talked about how we both loved the character, the person that plays her husband in the movie. And I just wanted to hug him because he was such a beautiful man. He loved her so much and he knew she could be forgiven. And it was so powerful. That moment in the movie for me, I mean, it kind of just gives me chills because there is mercy.
Yeah, I loved how, and this goes back to what Emily said before about how everyone in the movie was portrayed, I thought, with a lot of dignity, including her parents.
Yes.
Who just could not understand how their daughter was doing this, and yet stayed with her, mm-hmm. stayed in relationship with her. It's a great lesson, I think, not just about this issue of abortion, but for all of us across the board, all the different things we deal with in our life where we may want to walk away. Sometimes it seems so much easier just to walk away,
right. mm-hmm.
but you got to hang in there
right.
and you got to stay in relationship with people because that's how they learn. That's how the grace of God gets transmitted, isn't it?
It's right. through each other. You got to keep loving each other, mm-hmm. which can be so difficult, like you just said.
Yeah.
And Jerry, I think what you highlight is this reality that we have no idea who has been a victim, who has experienced the effects of abortion, who has maybe experienced an abortion itself. Yeah. We have no idea. I think we'd be shocked the amount of young women mm-hmm. in our Catholic high schools throughout the diocese mm-hmm. that have been faced with these questions. Mm-hmm. I know three mm-hmm. off the top of my head. I don't think we realize how deeply this is rooted. And there's been many times where I've been in conversations with pro-life, well-intentioned pro-life people who are speaking about it in terms that are so wounding mm. to the person who has experienced right. this tragedy in their life without recognition of that experience in that person's life. And so I think just that caution, not to step away from the topic, in fact, the opposite, to dive more deeply into the topic, mm-hmm. but to always speak with the abundance of mercy, to mm-hmm. always speak with the abundant love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness, is crucial because we have no idea.
Boy, and it's not, again, it's not just this topic where that's
Amen.
The case, right?
Yeah. Amen.
We don't know the wounds that any of us mm-hmm. walk around with mm-hmm. for the most part. We mm-hmm. don't know that. Mm-hmm. So how we treat other people, and isn't it it's the great command, right? The two great commands, love mm-hmm. God and love your neighbor as yourself. We ought to do that.
Mm-hmm. There's an interview with Abby Johnson, and I'm not sure if they demonstrated this in the movie or not, where there's a woman that had been praying outside of that particular Planned Parenthood, and she leaves some flowers on Abby's car. Did they show this in the movie?
I don't think so.
So this is a key point. There's an interview, a video interview with Abby Johnson several years ago that she did, and they interviewed this woman that ended up leaving flowers. And this, they now have this beautiful, deep friendship with this woman that was very pro-life, just approaching Abby with love. And I think if I remember right, the flowers made Abby mad at that point. You know, it was how dare you, know, leave flowers for mm-hmm. me here or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think she received them nonetheless. And just that simple act of beauty, conveying beauty from one woman to another, had power and mm-hmm. was an integral part, I think, in the overall process of conversion.
This, and actually Katie and I talked about this a little bit too, this whole topic, certainly men have a role in it, but I think men have to tread very lightly. I think this,
definitely.
Yep.
This is
yeah.
really a moment in a sense, for women who maybe don't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
but Katie and I also said, you come out of this movie and you're like, now what?
Right.
I feel like there's something more I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. And there is something we all can do. I mean, none of us alone are going to solve this problem, but we can all do small things.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mother Teresa or Teresa of Avila that says, you know, do those small things.
Yeah, trust Lasu.
With yeah. love.
Or Lasu, with great love. But yeah. I mentioned earlier that my brain just hurt because, like you're saying, Jerry, I wanted to do something. And how are we going to get women on both sides of this issue to come together and have civil dialogue? And I'm not seeing it yet, but just within our own communities of friends and families and our church, at our churches and things, we have to be talking about this and generate love and get out there and do something.
There was something so convicting a few weeks ago. I watched a video that said, all right, pro-life people, if we really want this to change, mm-hmm. we have to put our money where our mouths are. Mm-hmm. If we really, really believe what we're saying, guess what? We're going to have more unplanned pregnancies in the world. We're going to have more mothers that are concerned, that are struggling, that are whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more fathers that are terrified. What are we going to do about it? And this particular person had adopted, I think, 8 kids or something like that, and just said, we had to take that very seriously. And my husband and I are even having that conversation. What does that mean mm-hmm. to really put our money where our mouth is, to put our treasures, our time, our efforts, our everything? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, if these laws were ever to be overchanged, it's not like suddenly, oh, all is great and fine and
correct.
Dandy.
Right.
In fact, we have, you know, more kids that are homeless. We have more kids that are with parents that maybe are struggling, right. are not ready, are not able mm-hmm. to take care of them.
And more women suffering, probably. Who knows?
We have to change our adoption policies. We have to change our we need more foster parents. We need mm-hmm. we need a lot of things. And
we
those are all the foundation.
Teaching of respect for yourself and your mm-hmm. and others, and understanding sex. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of young people don't get it, what they're doing. I mean, sure, they're in the moment, but let's think more about what we're doing and what this is all about. I know one person and a friend of mine who saw the movie, she was feeling the same way, like, what am I going to do? I've got to do something. And yes, I can pray. I'll pray. But she said, I decided, no, I have to go pray at the Planned Parenthood in Sioux Falls, because my prayers at home, yes, they are well-intentioned, but I got to go do. And in the movie, it talks about how there's a 75% no-show rate at a Planned Parenthood clinic if there are people outside praying. And, you know, Planned Parenthood acknowledges that statistic and says, yeah, it drives us crazy that there's people out there praying, but your prayers work.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot to do. And there's going to be opportunities to do it, but it's part of the reason why I think having these kind of conversations is helpful. And I suspect, Emily, your phone might be ringing a little more in the days mm-hmm. to come as people see this movie and go, I don't know what I need to do. I just know I need to mm-hmm. do something. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some opportunities out there for us all. And if there aren't, then we're probably going to have to figure out how to create those opportunities for people to be involved. You brought with you a review that I think I do want to touch on a little bit. Again, it doesn't suggest that we're going to change these things overnight, but there's thoughtfulness on both sides of this issue again, and I want to make sure we honor that as well.
Yeah, this article was published by the Central Florida Post, and it's literally titled A Pro-Choice Review of Pro-Life Film Unplanned. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I'll read that.
No kidding.
If you're on Facebook, you'll find it fairly easily. There were several people. All your pro-life friends were probably sharing it. But the article really struck me because this young woman was invited to the premiere, kind of works in the industry, and she says, you know, I can't go to that. I'm a feminist. I'm radically pro-choice. But I want pro-life people to give me the time of day and to be open-minded. So, all right, I'll go and get my drinks and smile in front of the movie poster. And so she does. She goes with a friend. And she basically says, soon into the film, the smiles were wiped from our faces. And she kind of went in saying, you know, a little Christian pro-life film is not going to change my mind about abortion. And essentially gets to a point in her article where she just acknowledges that she was moved to tears at several times. And she really said, I appreciated the way that the Planned Parenthood workers were portrayed, because they do really feel as though they have this care for women. And she just said, this was important because I know that there are members in the audience that have never seen the inside of a Planned Parenthood. And so it brought to life in that way, a different reality that oftentimes I think we don't think about. But then she says, by the end of the film, I was completely distraught, questioning everything I had ever believed about what abortion really was.
Wow.
I went to Google, I prayed, I was hungry for more information. And then she just says, this is not a story of how a movie made me change my political affiliation. And I still have a lot more questions. But I went into that theater thinking that nothing could change my mind. And I left questioning everything. What I saw did make me question myself and my beliefs. And I believe that everyone should go and test it for themselves. And her final line is fantastic. This film will challenge you in a way that a politically charged Facebook dispute never will. And I just love that.
That's
you can find it online. Again, it was published by the Central Florida Post. And I think we'll start to see more of these type of articles pop up in the next couple of weeks. But there was just that sense of there's power in seeing something unfold in a story being told. And again, in a great effort of mercy.
Yes.
Yes. To not simply make... Planned Parenthood out to be the devil itself, to recognize that there are women inside those clinics who really, really do desire to help and to assist. And how do we do that well?
Mm-hmm. So what I've heard this morning, I'm just going to recap in our last few seconds. Mercy is huge. God's mercy is huge. How we treat other people, whatever their views or beliefs are, is really, really important. Recognizing everyone's dignity. Many of us who see this movie feel like we probably need to do something more, and we're not quite sure what that is. But I think having these kinds of conversations are a great place to start. What did I miss? Anything else that we really want to make sure? Yeah, pray. Yeah.
And if you're interested in, you know, what's going on in the community, please check out sfcatholic.org/respectlife. We do our best to post area Respect Life events. South Dakota Right to Life and the South Dakota Catholic Conference are also excellent resources. If you're looking for what can I do to be an activist in our own community, excellent resources.
Great stuff.
And tell me the name of the organization that helps women who are suffering that have experienced abortion. Isn't there something within our diocese?
The Rachel's Vineyard.
Rachel's Vineyard. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are available as well. So, Emily Leadham, Katie Fritz, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Jerry.
Gene, as we move ever closer to Holy Week,
I believe
not that far now.
No, it's just the week away, the start of Holy Week with Palm Sunday. But it is still time to tighten up your Lenten observances and your involvement in the Lenten season.
Got to get to confession if you haven't done that.
Exactly.
Great opportunity to do that sort of thing. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.